Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. My name's Bobby, or Junkhead, whatever you want to call me. And once again, thank you guys and gals, or whatever you identify yourself as, for taking time out of your awesome day to listen to this podcast. And along with me, as usual, the beautiful man, the beast from Bruges, my co-host, Joachim Blaze, a.k.a. the Diva. How you doing, brother?
Always the Diva. Bonjour, everybody. How are you all doing? So today we have another guest. I hope everybody's been enjoying all the previous episodes. If you haven't listened to some of them and you have some time, go and check them out. They're worth listening to, as I say myself. You know. Anyways, today we have a special guest from Sweden. This is our second guest from Sweden, Junket. Can you imagine? Yeah, right.
We're international. I was drinking. Bad host. I was drinking a cup of coffee.
You and your coffee.
We are so
always
international. Now, anyways, I will tell you. I thought KP5 had the best hair in all podcast world. This guest takes the cake. He's got
well,
the best hair.
Well, you're ruining my intro there. But
I'm
anyways,
sorry. I'll shut up now.
Let me try it. Okay. So today we're having Mr. Orp. See, I'm like, I was gonna go with the hair and you just messed it up.
You
anyways
are bad.
The man with the coolest hair in Sweden, probably in Europe, maybe on Twitch, Mr. Joel, or aka Orp. Hello, Orp, how you doing?
Yo, what's going on, guys? That was a great intro. I like it.
Yeah,
people usually don't comment so much about the hair. I mean, they comment about the hair from time to time, but not as like an intro piece, which is, it's nice. I love that you guys are taking, you know, a piece out of this podcast just to dedicate it to my hair. If just for a split second, I will take that. All right,
yeah,
I'll take that to the man.
And you will find Orb's hair on Twitter, at Orb's hair, you know, so...
It's not at Orb's hair. Listen, we need to make it a Twitter now.
Yeah,
but just at Orb on Twitter if you're trying to find me. I'm sure my hair is in my AVI, in my biopic. But
look, coming from someone that's losing his hair, I respect hair game. So kudos to you.
Yeah.
So.
Listen, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to say a life is good with hair. And then
knocking
in a couple of years,
right,
who knows?
Look, a word I've never used before, but you're a metro man. You know what a metro man is?
Yeah, metro man, like a guy that takes care of his looks.
Yes, there you go. You always have amazing hair, nice glasses, always wearing nice clothes. You know, I check your Instagram every day. I go like, oh, damn, I wish I
And you
like
said
this.
I'm a stalker, and you said you might want to get, yeah, but do you have restraining orders?
You know I'm messing.
Do you have restraining
you know
orders in Sweden? You might want to get one, I'm just saying.
In Sweden, we have a term, because you said metro man, right? In Sweden, we have a term, it's metrosexual. So
that's what it would be here.
Take that as you will, but that's the word on the street for a guy that takes care of his looks. But I think that is also implying makeup, which I haven't really delved into makeup yet. But I think as my skin deteriorates over time and the cameras keep going more high quality, I think eventually I will have to. So I think it's only a matter of time.
Don't talk about
that. Brings me back to Junkhead buying his. you bought Junkhead bought this new camera from Logitech, right? What's it called again?
Brio.
The Brio, and he put it on 4K, and he was like, "Oh my god, my skin looks so bad. I'm not putting it on 4K."
Turn it off. Never.
The thing about that is like you gotta worry about lighting too, because you can buy a really nice webcam or camera, but then if you don't have the lighting to go with it, it kind of like it throws it off as well. The 4K resolution is it could be dangerous. Yeah.
I was like, I turned it on and I was like, Blaze, never again, bud, never again. I turned it on stream one time and they were like, wow. And I was like, you shouldn't say things like that. But enough about me and my old wrinkled face. Please,
we can talk about it if you want to. Okay?
Yeah,
Junkhead, I know you have a question for Orp when I showed you some pictures of his stream.
Well, we'll talk about that. I mean, I've noticed that, and I was going through, unlike Blaze. Well, before we do this, I want you to take a chance to introduce yourself To people that may not know the world of Orb, your experience, and then I do have a question. We'll go through about your setup. I said your setup is clean as fuck.
Thank you.
So, but you know, take the time. I mean, we've been talking about Blaze and his and everything Blaze of, as usual, which is in the contract. We have to say Blaze's name at least once every 10 minutes. The contract. So, but please take the time, introduce yourself, let the world know, people that have listened to this episode that are, you know, maybe living under a rock or whatever, might not know who you are.
No, absolutely. I'm sure there's plenty of people who have no idea who I am. So hi, everybody. My name is Joel, a.k.a. Orb. I've been around the content creation and streaming scene for longer than I probably like to admit. It's close to 10 years since I first started on YouTube, uploading Call of Duty 4 videos. And I was a part of this private server, and I was really good at sniping. And they wanted me to show them how to snipe. So my first ever uploads, and these are still on YouTube, by the way. If you somehow sort my library of videos and you sort the oldest at the top, right? You get the reverse chronological order. You'll still see the Sniper School videos. I think there's a 3-part series where I try to teach people how to snipe. And that's how it all began. Obviously, back then, there was no making money. It was just for the fun of it. And then throughout the years, obviously played a lot more Call of Duty and grew the YouTube channel to 100,000 subscribers. And then somewhere along the way, maybe at around 50 or 60K or something like that, this thing called Twitch came around. And I was on livestream.com and on Justin TV. And for you guys that don't know, Justin TV became Twitch TV. So I was with them from the very, very beginning. And at the time, in the beginning, I was one of the biggest Call of Duty channels on the platform. And I was actually, and this is something I pride myself on, I was actually one of the first people on Twitch to get a sub button. The first batch of people to get a sub button on Twitch. And that was a big deal back then. I don't remember exactly what year, but it was a very long time ago. And I remember Twitch contacted me and they were like, hey, listen, we're going to enable this feature for your channel if you want to, but just know that we're taking a big risk with you. Because apparently at the time, it would cost them more money than they would make. Maybe because the feature was new. I'm not really sure why, but that is essentially how they explained it to me. Look at that.
That's kind of funny. Yeah. Hey, look, I want to give you this. Just so you know, it's a risk for us. You know, it's like things you don't want to include in the same sentence, but they did. But got to love you, Twitch.
Yeah.
Hashtag kind of a big deal.
So the thing is, like, back then, Twitch was not many people. And the people that worked at Twitch, many of them have come from YouTube. Many of them I've known. And some of them have left the company now. Some of them are still with Twitch, which is amazing. But either way, they're happy if they've left Twitch or they're still there. They're happy. But back then, the company wasn't very big, so it was more friendly talk. Obviously, there is a business side to it, but it was, you know, instead of them having to send like a proper email, they could just, you know, John from Twitch could DM me and say, "Hey, dude, all right, we're looking for this, that, and the other. What do you think? Can we make it happen?" But back then, so people might look at the sub button and be like, "Wow, what a huge deal! You must have been making so much money." The thing is, back then, when a sub button was brand new, every time I would get a new sub, which was very rare, everybody in my chat at the time, I had maybe 1-2,000 concurrent viewers for Call of Duty, which was huge back then. All right, I don't have those numbers anymore, and 1-2K now is. You're still doing really well, but you know, now the big guys have, you know, 60K, 80K, whatever XQC is sitting at these days. But every time a new sub would come in, the entire chat would be like, "What an idiot. Why would anybody sub? You can just download Adblock." And because that was like the big appeal, you would promote subscribing to the channel to get ad free viewing. And everybody in chat, it would be such a negative reaction to something that should be such a good thing. And now you look at Twitch nowadays, the amount of sub gifting that goes around, right? What a complete 180 this thing has taken from way back then. It was like, what a bunch of idiots subscribing when you can just watch for free with Adblock, to now there's people that go out of their way, not only for themselves to watch and support whatever they enjoy, but to support other viewers to also be a part of like that conversation. So to make this story, to kind of wrap up this introduction, I've been in this business for a very long time. Extremely, extremely happy to still be in it. I burn for video games. I burn for gaming. I am so passionate for this industry, which is forever, forever growing. And for people like this, like the podcast here, like this is like a passion project that starts, and who knows where, you know, what the future might hold for you guys. Like, I love that. Something that, you know, 10 years ago would have been like, you can't make anything out of that. And you can't enjoy yourself doing something. You know, back then gaming wasn't really very cool. Now it's so much more mainstream and so much more accepted. But hopefully that kind of ties a bow on this situation. I'm old. That is it. I'm old.
Yeah. Welcome to being certified old, man. There we go. But we've talked about that before, though.
I mean, you're not old, man. You're like, in my opinion, you're very young. You know, I'm getting 40 this year. Junkat is getting 65, I think, like that. You know,
48 in January. Why do you make me say
65 is the new 45? I know, exactly. I heard.
Get ready.
But he's getting, you're getting 48. I know. Yeah, I'm just teasing you.
But that's two questions I have. I mean, it's not like it's really a statement, but like, and we've talked about this on several podcasts before, and everyone says it, like, you know, maybe like 20, 25 years ago, if not more, is that if you played video games, you were labeled as a nerd, you know, and it was like you did it in the dark, you know, like, you know, like a, like you were in like a, what's the little hidden little whiskey places back in the, you know, Prohibition days and stuff where, So now it's like, but you see everybody's doing it, you know. Even there's a senator here that streamed Among Us and had like 45,000 viewers, and she's a senator streaming a video.
That's AOC,
game.
Right?
Yeah, AOC. And I'm like, you know, and I was like, so now it's not as taboo, that it's great because people, you know, like you, like even people like Blaze that have been around for a while, you guys are like the, you know, that, and, you know, we could name drop all the, you know, like, we were talking off recording, like Hector Rodriguez, who was like a forefather for creating content, which content leads to certain things. And is that it'll, you know, it's okay to be creating content. It's okay to play video games. It's okay to stream. It's okay to do whatever you want to do.
100%. I'm with you 100% on that. Like where the industry has gone, and I just look at it like, if this would all crash and burn tomorrow for me, all right, let's say that, hey, DMCA strikes are coming in on Twitch, right? I've, you know, taken care of my clips and my VODs, but who knows? Maybe they want to get rid of me anyways. And I feel like, okay, I'm not going to be able to move over to another platform. I want to give it a rest. I would be so happy. The people that I've met along the way, the opportunities I've had, all the traveling all across the world. Obviously now traveling isn't really great, but man, being able to travel to so many different countries and see all my friends from far away places, you know, being invited to things I probably shouldn't be invited to, like very like high up there situations. It's very, very cool. But yeah, when I started my YouTube channel, like it wasn't like I was proudly walking around saying, hey, I started a YouTube channel, guys. It's for gaming. You know, I'm sure kind of the nerd thing still exists, but it's become so much more accepted. And I'm just thinking like, man, think of 10 years in the future from now.
Well, I mean,
it's going to be even more people that are like, okay with it. And hopefully are getting opportunities within this business to do something that they're passionate about. Cause that's what I encourage everybody to do, right? Find that thing you're passionate about and pursue the hell out of it.
I mean, there's several ways you can look at it. Yes, you could look at it whereas you shouldn't, you know, stream to make, you know, look at it as making money, you know, right off the rip. You know, you're starting out, but then there's certain times you like, look, if you see progression, you could look at as a viable way to make it, especially nowadays where, where with the virus going on and such, but there's a lot of people that this is their job. You know, like,
yeah,
they wake up, they push live, or generally it's not like live. You're, oh, I got to record my YouTube video. I got to upload to Instagram, Twitter, you know, or whatever form. Like, I'm addicted to TikTok. I'm a TikTok whore. I'm not going to lie right now. So, this is another question. I'm sorry. You will find this is Blaze's fault, not mine. It's in the script. You said Call of Duty, favorite Call of Duty of all time. I gotta know. I'm a COD jockey. I'm a console jockey.
Yeah.
I have one Call of Duty game that I will play. I would play forever.
Okay, good. You better have the same as me, because I have the number one Call of Duty. Like, when you start saying that sentence, I already know. It is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, which is the best Call of Duty of all time.
Oh.
It has specialist loadout, which made Call of Duty the most fast-paced, the Call of Duty that makes you into a superhero running around. You have MOABs. You have something to go for, okay? I made my name through Call of Duty and Modern Warfare 3. I was known as the MOAB King, okay? It was my thing.
I think Junkat just jizzed a little.
No. Modern Warfare 3. I was a Modern Warfare 2 guy. I loved Modern Warfare 2.
That's a great game.
Because I got into playing like team tax S&D matches with my buddies. You know, same four guys just playing S&D. You know, and I just believe that's back when, you know, when now those people are with Respawn, most of the guys for Respawn back in that Infinity Ward, is that they gave a crap about their game. You know, aesthetically, the maps were nice, you know, everything. So, but Modern Warfare 3 was, I will give you that. A lot of good maps there. The Call of Duty, that's when Call of Duty was great. There was no flying through the air.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So, I mean, there's...
For you as an expert, what do you think about the new Call of Duty game coming out? You know, the better.
I actually like it a lot. It's fast paced, but I feel like it has, like I said, I grew the most, and I was most known for Modern Warfare 3 gameplay. I obviously played every Call of Duty, and then my channel for a long time was strictly only Call of Duty, and I was known as back then Incredible Orb, which I'm still known, like Instagram. I still have that alias, but. My whole thing was like, hey, watch my channel. I'm really good at the game. So trust me, I played all the Call of Duties, and there's some really bad ones. Ghost, Advanced Warfare. Those are terrible. Ghost is by far the worst Call of Duty in the history of all Call of Duties.
I think Ghost had one of the most, as far as if you're going in just solo, it was, what was that game mode in Ghost? Oh, gosh. Where you had like the points where you could run and you get points by going into the enemies. Oh,
cranked.
No, not cranked. Oh, can't believe I just forgot. I just had a brain fart about it. Blitz.
Blitz. That
Blitz. So you had like two little points where you would run into it and then you'd disappear and you go back to your spawn point. So, I mean, as far as for a solo, because, you know, my team got older and I needed a team, which I needed. I had to get carried. I'll say it.
Yeah. Carried. Okay.
But. Modern Warfare 3. I did love Modern Warfare 3. I think Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, I put the most time in of all game types.
Yeah, same.
Of all.
Same. I think the new one is really good. It reminds me a lot about Modern Warfare 3 when you had the specialist loadout and you were a little bit faster. You did everything a little bit faster. Mantling, ADSing, moving. You did everything a little bit faster. That's kind of what it feels like when I'm playing this game. It's definitely fast. I like the time to kill, and I like, I don't know, I had a really good time in I had the opportunity to play it a little bit early access. I loved that. I got to play the beta. I still liked it. Of course, not every game is perfect, but in terms of a Call of Duty, I think it's a really good one. It's got to be a really interesting dynamic now, though, because you have Warzone, which is mega popular, right? There's a lot of people that only play Call of Duty for Warzone, and now obviously Warzone is completely standalone. It's going to be interesting to see the player base and how that gets affected. I love the cross-platform. I think that is, you need that for Call of Duty. And especially as a PC guy, I don't mind playing against people that have like aim assist, because I know a lot of PC people are like, they don't like aim assist, and I'm not a super big fan of aim assist, but I'll take people having aim assist over, there's a, you know, 8,000 player base on PC. You know, I'll happily take us being able to have whatever, a million concurrent players or whatever it is, as opposed to 8,000 concurrent players.
I mean, not only is it,
people can join it with controller.
It's literally going to be the first cross generation. Game
cross generation and cross platform.
It's going to be the first, but I mean, look, let's face it. I think my thing with aim assist, I mean, all the old COD players, you know how aim assist worked, and I just think that in an effort to make it work, it's just, I think it is too overpowering, you know, That's all it is. If they just dialed it down from like 11 to maybe like a 6,
yeah,
you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, because sniping is talking
to the right person. You work with them, right? Or you do testing for them, no? Am I wrong? I sometimes see posts of you that you like, you know, go and do stuff with them.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to like be a part of many of their like early access events, like play the game early before the beta even hits, before the game is out. And I'm able to, yeah, I mean, it depends on what the structure of the days are. But yeah, usually you get to play for like a full day and give your feedback and just get a feel for the game. It's great. But I don't work for them as like an employee or anything like that.
I'm just glad that we agree that Advanced Warfare is probably the worst Call of Duty ever created.
Ghost takes the cake, but Advanced Warfare is up there.
Yeah, I don't know. God, there was something else I wanted. I'm a hot mess right now.
About my setup.
It is.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Also, I mean, and we'll talk all his information. You guys will be down in the description below as far as sponsorship and stuff. I did notice that you're obviously sponsored by Elgato.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And you were talking about it, is that lighting is key for everything. It doesn't matter what you have. Now, on your key lights, you have your key lights pointing against the wall. I was like, I got to find out. And I was like, well, I bet you he's using them as like a diffuser kind of setup where it lights. Because everything is about depth of field now. But so everything behind you is blurry and stuff. But I was like, that is really unique. And I was like, clean setup. And I was like, I looked at his lights and I was like, I got to know. There's got to be a reason behind it.
Yeah, so I tend to become pretty light sensitive over time. If I do a longer stream, it's something I've noticed, once again, becoming older. I've just noticed how I kind of get a strain on my eyes from all the lights. Obviously, I have a lot of lights in here. And I feel like it helps if I bounce the light off of the wall and then onto me. And that also, like you said, it kind of naturally diffuses the light a little bit. So if I feel like it's too strong, then yeah, once again, I could just turn them to the wall, shoot it that way, it will bounce right back. And I think it creates a nice even lighting, since instead of coming from that little, well, it's not, they're not small, the key lights, but as opposed to them being able to bounce massive light off of a wall and bouncing that, it just becomes nicer, I think.
It's a really awesome idea, and I wish, well, I don't have a key light. I just got the regular umbrella lights, whatever you want to call them. You know, one of the previous episodes, we had Activator on there, and, you know, he was talking about the development of low light cameras, whereas, you know, like a good webcam, you want to have good lighting and stuff. And, you know, with the development of these low light cameras, you're allowed to have less light in your room in certain concentrated areas, and it makes it look so much better. And I'm all right, cool. Now it makes sense. So
it's also like, it's whatever vibe you're trying to, it's funny you mentioned this, because I literally have three different, obviously with my partnership with Elgato, I'm supposed to market, obviously, their products, right?
Go ahead. Talk about it real quick.
So,
go ahead.
No. I just meant like, because I've literally prepared talking about, you know, webcam versus a DSLR. I've talked about, you know, lights, you know, having proper lighting and how that affects your stream. And I have like kind of comparison pictures and stuff. And that's actually, it's so funny because I did that today. And you bringing this up. It's so interesting.
Meant to be.
But yeah, exactly. But it's so important. I think people often overlook things like camera, and also like they buy a really good camera, but they don't think about lighting. But with that, like you said, like it also comes to like what type of energy, what type of vibe are you trying to give off in the stream? If you want to have like the professional lighting where like everything is perfectly lit, you can have that. Or like you can dim the lights, or you can have no lights. And as long as you have a camera that can handle low light, it can actually make for a very cozy atmosphere instead of maybe the professional, I don't know what to call it, like a professional host, you know, like in a studio, perfectly lit. Instead, it's more a chill vibe. And that's what you can do. Like if you have the right lights and the right camera, the right equipment, you can, you know, find whatever mood you're looking to create.
I mean, the advancement, and like I even told Blaze about it, is that I used to stream when, like, my old webcam was a Logitech C615. Yeah, I went there.
Yeah, everybody's had that. I think everybody has, yeah.
I had it up until like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. But I dialed it up to make it look as pretty as possible. Did I just say pretty? But I had these lights.
The images look pretty. What do you mean? You can say that.
I had these lights that I used for a green screen, but I didn't use a green screen anymore. And then I was like, well, let me see what it looks like with lights. And I was like, oh my gosh, lighting changes everything.
For a webcam, 100%.
And I mean, especially
for webcams, yeah.
So.
No, because then it comes down to like the frame rate of the webcam will drop as well. So you'll have like a super bad 5 FPS, you know, lights flickering. I don't know. It can get really bad if you don't have enough light.
So I don't know. So I know we got off track, but that's what this podcast is about. It's like, I don't think we ever stay on track. Well, Blaze never does.
No, I love it. Blaze. Just jump from different
He doesn't
things.
Hear us right now, but he is a hot mess. That's why I call him the diva. So.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, you're still here. This is really awkward right now. So, but yeah, please go ahead and tell us. Like, I know you saw, obviously, Call of Duty. You got your start. Trendsetter. The first with a sub button. How many people can say that?
That's right. Not many. And the cool thing with that, too, is I still have people that are reoccurring subs from that time. Meaning, actually, you wanted to know the year. We can actually do the math.
Yeah,
104 months. 104 months is my longest sub. I had two of them. And then I have like one at 100, couple of people at like 95, whatever. So do the math. Okay, divided by 12, figure that out. And then just backtrack it. But it's crazy. Like I said, I started my channel with Call of Duty and I wanted to be the best I could be. I wanted to be known as somebody who's really good. And that's why I wanted something like, I wanted a name that caught people's attention. So if I call myself Orb, back then I thought it's too plain. Incredible Orb, people are going to be like, yeah, why does he think he's so incredible? They would click my link and hopefully they would be impressed. That was my thinking back then. Whether it worked or not, we don't know. But I prided myself on bringing the most insane gameplay I possibly could. And I was known, me and another guy called TBNR Frags, we were known as essentially... Like we did everything. We did every possible challenge you could possibly think. Getting these Moabs, that's a 25 kill streak in the game. He did 100 Moabs in a 24-hour stream. All right. Oh, then the weekend after, I did 101 Moabs in 24-hour streams in a 24-hour stream. Then he did 200, a jump from I don't know how we did it, but then he did 200 Moabs in a 24-hour stream, and then I did 201, and then we just went back and forth with crazy challenges like knife only Moabs, riot shield only Moabs, S&D only Moabs. It was all just to get crazier and crazier gameplay, and people loved it, and I loved it up until a certain point. You know, when you've been grinding Call of Duty, I could just say this: when you've been grinding the same game or the same franchise for 6, 7, 8 years, I don't know. I lost the fun and it turned more into like, I have to grind this now. I have to grind this. And back in early Twitch days, like I said, there was a sub button. I had that eventually, but it was ad revenue. That's how I made my money. All right. And Twitch obviously paid a lot more because I could run mid-roll ads all the time or when I wanted to. But then it just became like I had to clock in, right? That's how I felt. I had to clock in. I had to perform really well because otherwise people would be like, man, you fell off. Man, you're not the same. And then it would leave my channel, right? So I have to play good constantly so people would stick around so I could run these ads. Certain days, I remember like forgetting to run ads for 6 hours. I just lost myself in the gameplay, whatever. So that means 6 hours of no income or whatever. Yeah, they show pre-roll ads, but that's 6 hours of not pushing for to be able to pay my bills and pay my rent. And I just like, it became too much pressure. And I was like, I have to do a massive change. I have to go into variety. And I know there's a lot of people who are not going to want to watch that. All right. I'm not going to be naive to think that everybody's going to follow. If I've built a community and a brand for 6 years, that is, hey, watch me. I'm really good at Call of Duty. Of course, not everybody's going to follow. Right. So I just had to like mentally prepare, like, okay, I've built my community this one way. I can do it again. but it's going to take time. All right. And I'm still working on it. Okay. To this day, I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to improve, still trying to grow, still trying to do my thing. But it got to a point where I said, I got to switch. I got to follow happiness over this ad revenue paycheck, because it was paying really well, but it just wasn't worth it.
I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Blaze.
No, I can feel him in that part, because like you said, I've been around myself for a while, and there have been moments that I was playing a certain game for a while for certain reasons, because, you know, you have your viewer base on it, you know, you have the people watching you because of that gameplay, you bring another stuff. But you get at some point where you're burned out that you want to try something else. And there's many of examples of other streamers in that same predicament, and you switch games and boom, suddenly you're back to nowhere almost, and you have just a few people left, and you're like, what do I have to do now? So that's a struggle I think every streamer a little bit has, and that's why you kind of have to reinvent yourself every time, right, Joel?
No, I mean, it's true, but I don't want to make it seem like a negative story, because I'm still
it's not negative.
I am very fortunate to have the sponsors that I have the support from my community, and have such a diehard community. Man, when I hear from Twitch, right? When I hear from Twitch that, like, they're like, the amount of sub gifts you have on your channel, the amount of support you have from your channel, you know, we talk about these subs that are 104 months. It's unheard of in many communities. I'm very fortunate to just have that support system. And once again, there's many people that have been with me through that entire journey. There's many people that are new. Either way, everybody's welcome on this crazy train. But the takeaway I want everybody to have is, you can reinvent yourself. You can change, but you gotta know that it's going to be tough, and it's not gonna be easy. But if you've done it one time, then you can do it again. All right, you gotta have faith in yourself. You gotta trust yourself, and you gotta be willing to put in so much work. Okay, reinvent yourself is one of the hardest things, because it's such a mental battle more than, yes, you're grinding your hours, right? You're putting in the physical work to get there. But the mental, you know, the people that are coming in like, man, what happened to your channel? You fell off. You know, you got to be mentally be capable to handle those comments. And just for you, maybe you're just looking at the viewer number and being like, man, I'm putting in, you know, I'm grinding out here, but I'm not seeing the results. Okay. You got to be smart. Okay. What can we change? How can we make it more efficient? You know, stream less, but maybe do, you know, try to maybe more intense, like, you're actually more involved. You're talking more with chat, but you do a shorter stream. Maybe you do a much longer stream. Maybe you split up, do two streams in a day. Maybe you try this game or this type of content. There's always ways. There's always ways to work around it. And I'm still navigating through those waters as well. As I'm saying that, I don't want to make it seem like I know all the answers, but that's kind of what helped me, you know, kind of get out of that, the COD rut, if you will, and into, I don't know, into something that's so enjoyable. Man, I'm so happy to be where I am today because of Call of Duty, because of the start. I don't look at my past being like, Call of Duty can, you know, fuck off. Can I swear on here, by the way?
Dude, you fucking can.
Okay. But, you know, I don't mean to.
I don't use them as, they're not swear words. They're like exclamation points to a sentence on this podcast.
Yeah, my chat calls them cussies whenever I say this. He said a cussie.
Oh, that sounds cute.
Yeah, I know. It sounds adorable.
That's like a little kid show. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But no. I was essentially just done with that. But it's possible, okay? I want everybody to know it's possible. But, you know, nothing in life comes easy, especially the stuff you really, really want. It's a tough business, but, man, if it's something you're really passionate about, you'll find a way, you know, keep on working, keep on striving.
Yeah. And I think I put like a TikTok out, excuse me, about, you see everyone, and this is nothing against anybody. Like, you know, you go through and look at their content, because pretty much content is like one symbiotic relationship, like one feeds to another. And I see them and they're like, here, I just started streaming a month ago. I was at like 20 view, you know, followers. Now I'm at the, you know, so now they're like at week four, they're at like 300 followers and they're giving advice and bless their heart, you know. But they're being successful in one game. And And I did a TikTok and I was like, how about we do community advice? And I was like, here's Twitch streamer advice. And like my biggest thing that I've always had an issue with, excuse me, I had aim assist in my throat there. Excuse me. LOL. Is that when I stopped playing Call of Duty exclusively on my stream was World War II, which was a dumpster fire of a game. Ironically, put out by the same creators that made Advanced Warfare, but we'll go from there. But I told him, I was like, as a streamer, and I firmly believe this, and I've learned this from Blaze more than he knows, is that when I'm upset with, I'm frustrated playing a game, I don't want to stream. I won't stream it because, like, it's a personal reflection on me, you know? And, but then, like, that day, I remember this, and it's like the day that, like, I remembered in my content creation is that I said, today is the last day that I will never play this game again because I'm unhappy playing it. And everyone in my stream were like, so you're not going to play this game anymore? That's the only reason I come here for. I was like, you shouldn't come here for me, for the game. You should come here for me. No, I come here for Call of Duty. Well, and I literally, like the next day, I refreshed my follower and I lost 70 followers. And as a small streamer, that was a huge hit for me. But I was like, I felt better. You know, but then the problem is that I think people's community, if you don't have a really devout community / cult following, you know, and I hate the term community, I like call it family. To me, it's more personable, you know, is that you see it. There's so many times that like you did, like you said, you make the transition from Call of Duty, you reinvented yourself. And I'm sure you had people that were like, well, I came here for this, you know, because you're really good at Call of Duty.
Yeah, 100%. Thousands of them.
And then now you're playing another game. Well, see you later, dude. I'll see you another time. Let me know when you're going to play Call of Duty. And that, I think, is a thing that happens with a lot of streamers or content creators out there, is that their community starts dictating what they're doing. Because you're just like, okay, I want the viewership. I'll go back to playing a game I'm miserable playing, you know. And it's not fair because I think as a content creator is that you put so much stress on yourself, so much pressure. You want to create the greatest show on earth and you can't control what you're doing. And I just think that's not fair to a. So if you guys are listening and you're part of a family or a community, don't hold the streamer hostage. Let him be happy because then good content comes from that. So I'm getting off my soapbox having coffee now. My bad.
No, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Like when I made the switch, and I still get messages to this day. Oh, I miss the old you. I miss when you would stream 14 hours only Call of Duty and go for high MOABs. I really miss that. And they're projecting. You know, here's the thing: memories are great. All right, memories and nostalgia over things is a terrific thing, but things are not meant to last forever. All right. And I'm very, once again, I look back at all these memories and all these, the experiences I've had with Call of Duty and then being in that bubble, being like, quote unquote, one of the best, not pro level, but pub stomping wise, I was considered one of the best. I look back at that very fondly. No, I look back at that very fondly. And I mean, I'm here today because of all that work, because I did all that, because of the exposure I got. So I look back to that very joyfully and very happy, but I'm also not attached to the past that much. And that it was harder in the beginning to tackle questions like that because it made me think, not so much that this person is upset with me or saddened that I'm doing something else. It would just be like, I would feel like, well, maybe he's right. You know, maybe I should have stayed. Maybe I should have. And that's why I say the mental part of making this switch and just streaming as a whole, even if you're not making a switch, just getting into streaming, it can be such a mental battle. But it's man, when you get out on the other side, it's now I don't get as frustrated with people that are coming up because I know they're coming. They mean it from a good place. A lot of them, maybe not all of them, some of them write heinous messages about I'm nothing anymore. And you're like, well, you're projecting because maybe your life isn't going your way. And, you know, you're like, why is he lashing out at me? Why does he even care about me? It's, man, you know, several years later, right? So it doesn't bother me. Like that stuff
people
is
coming into your channel and they're like, You're a partner. You have 10 viewers. What the fuck happened? What's wrong with you? And you're like, dude, if you actually followed me, you'd know what I've been through and what my life has been in the last few years instead of coming in here and just commenting on something. And by the time you react, those people are usually already gone out of your channel. You know, they just want to say that, give you a sort of feeling, make themselves feel better and go away, you know. And
That's the thing, though. Like, you know that, and this is the same with, like, because I, as any streamer, I also get people in my chat who come in and they say, like, the most crazy, insane shit, right? Just to put you down. But you know that, like, what is the purpose of them being there to say that? It, like, as much as it sounds like cliche to say, like, oh, haters gonna hate and all that stuff. But it's true. Like, you have to understand that somebody that is willing to take time out of their day to say all that shit to you is not happy. You know, they are not in a good place. And I just, instead of feeling like aggravated or frustrated, I feel empathy. I feel empathy for people that are saying these things, because they clearly are, they're projecting from some point, because nobody that is happy, you know, those days when you feel on top of the world, you know, life's going good, work's going good. Maybe your workouts are, you know, improving, whatever it might be. You're feeling really good. Maybe you met the love of your life, or I don't know, the relationships are just feeling great, right? The last thing you would think is, let me just sit down and go into somebody's channel and shit talk them, or like just be negative towards anybody because you're feeling on top of the world. The only people that are negative, all right, are people that are in just a negative headspace, a negative part of their life, all right? And I would say this to everybody, feel empathy for these people, all right? They're hurting, all right? You don't have to, you know, explain yourself to them. You don't have to, you know, allow them to stick around in your community. But instead of lashing out, just be like, I hope it gets better, you know? It's, I don't know. That's what I've learned, dude. But I've been doing this for so long, because I wish I had this mindset back then, because I would, when somebody would lash out at me, I would lash right back. Who the fuck do you think you are? I was this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. Now I don't bother anymore. Now it's just, I don't know.
I need to fix that with myself. Thank you. That's what I probably needed to do too. I mean, I don't like to do things like that when I'm streaming or whatever, you know, but I've only had one time I've ever like told the dude I was going to burn the earth around him, you know, because of some of the stuff he said. But
yeah,
you know, I was like, don't go there. But I always try to be, you know, you're right though, because you never know. Like, we don't know what that person on the other side of the keyboard's doing, and you know, they may have a bad day and they're just like venting towards somebody else, and unfortunately, it's towards a streamer or a content creator, and I guess it's like a quid pro quo kind of concept, you know. You need to look at, you know, but they may having a bad day, you know, as a streamer, we all have bad days. And
yeah,
like 100%. I've learned from Blaze that sometimes it's okay. Hi everybody, it's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers, go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm going to tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it. And I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple. And not only that, I got some H1 Ninja Gym in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today, and I love them 100%. So, you guys.
Yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads, accessories.
Let me ask you this.
What?
I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. Well, guess what? XtraFi's got you covered 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to XtraFi.com. Or XtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world. Asia, NA, Europe, they got you covered. So you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Frag and Lagging podcast, send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging, because if not,
you're probably not using Xtrfy gear.
I did not stream, you know. If you're not there mentally, you know, take a day off, you know, because I always felt guilty. Like if I said I was going to stream on Tuesday and Tuesday came around, I was like, oh, guys, sorry, I'm feeling sick. I can't do it, you know. But it's just so, I don't know, it's a really cool concept that I think everyone needs to take that it's okay to take a breath and, you know, don't be the keyboard warrior that comes into someone's chat just for attention, you know. I always like it when they come in and they talk so much crap and they're like, hey, can you follow me? I was like, really? You just said I was the worst player in the whole wide world and then you asked me for a follow.
I'm like, when I watch streams, I'm a different kind of viewer. I can just, you know, put it on my TV and like on my TV, I can't even type text, you know, but just watch a stream and listen to it and, you know, and at the same time, maybe do my household or something or play with my little boy or whatever, you know, that sometimes I put the Orb stream on or whatever stream and I watch what they do, you know, but I understand like the thing that everybody likes about, which is that you can communicate with a streamer. There's certain viewers that you have that are there because they can communicate with you. If you get too big, those kind of people don't like it anymore because you're not really seeing all their messages anymore because it's impossible, you know? But like you got different kind of viewers and you'll always have different kind of people. That's what makes the world it is, you know? And the thing that sometimes, I'm not going to say bothers me, but some people don't realize what a grind streaming is. Like you just said it earlier, Orb, streaming is a grind. You know, you have to put a lot of time in it to get it later back in return if you achieve certain things, you know. So a lot of people are like, oh, this is hard. I got all the equipment. I got the best stuff. And, you know, I only have two viewers. Yeah, but have you looked at how you're streaming? Have you looked at what you're doing? Have you looked in how you spend your time? You know, maybe it's better not to stream 18 hours a day, but to stream 6 hours a day and the rest of that time use it to create other content to get out of there or work on improving your stream and all that stuff. And like streaming is, you know, a special profession. I always say it's so complex in a way, you know, and you can go in so many different directions stream.
Like, 100%. It's finding your own niche, finding your own thing and running with it. Look at the doc. Look at how explosive his growth was and how he's still the number one streamer that I love to watch, is because he always does something new. He always changes up something. He always has some new overlays, some new green screen action, constantly keeping it fresh, constantly keeping it new. He's really made his thing his thing. And now people that are using green screen in such a way is not like, oh, they're doing the doc approach, which is, I'm not saying it's wrong. Like I'm not saying like the doc has monopoly on using a green screen in you know, in the scenes he does, like, but that's a trendsetter move. He's doing his own thing. Okay. Who knew if that was gonna work or not. But to your point about, you know, people say, you know, I'm streaming with two viewers and I'm not growing. I have all the equipment. That's a dangerous trap to fall into, because good equipment doesn't mean you're going to make it. It can give you, once again, nice audio, nice video, you know, being able to have like a nice camera and stuff. It's going to look really nice. It could potentially help you, but it's not a guarantee for success. So as much as I want people to be able to get the gear they want, they also have to look at their finances and be like, is this something that I have the money to put into it and that I want to? I encourage everybody, listen, I'm sponsored by Elgato. I would never recommend somebody that's just starting day one to buy all the Elgato stuff to be ready. Like, figure out streaming, like have fun with it. Explore streaming. You know, what's fun with streaming? What's hard about streaming? Is it hard being able to talk all the time? Maybe you do better streaming when you play with other people and you can talk with them. You know, I don't know who to talk to. There's no one in my chat. Well, talk to the people you're playing with, right? Figure out stuff like that first. And then who knows where your stream is in a month, 2 months, 6 months.
Even
maybe you upgrade your stuff and get more stuff in and maybe invest in yourself that way.
What, like, people, about that stuff. People want immediately like the best overlays, the best art and everything. And I remember when I started out, I made some overlays in Paint, you know, and I started out and I started growing and growing and growing. And I think the first time I ever used an artist was when I got my sub button. And before that, I had 100 or 200 viewers with shitty overlays. Sometimes I look at my old videos and I'm like, dude, that were my overlays. They look like so crappy. But the people, that's what I realized also, is the people were there for what content I was offering, you know, for my gameplay or for... because I did a lot of CSGO and I did a lot of, you know, those upgrade contracts and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the gambling times and all that. So people were there for that. They were not there because I had a, I immediately had a C920. But except from that, I didn't have the greatest equipment. I just wanted to be there and have fun with people in my stream, you know. And I think that should be kind of the start of a stream, you know. Don't invest too much. Just see if it's something for you. Have fun. Don't, like... Of course, if you can make a nice overlay, but I'm not so good with that kind of stuff. But like, just be you, do you, and try to see if you works, you know? That's what I think.
We talked about streaming being more accessible than ever to people. And it's so true. Like we talked about, you're talking about overlays now. There is thousands of free overlays that you can download. New follower alerts, that all free. If you check YouTube, if you check Twitter, if you check Google, there are endless sources for you guys to get started with stuff like that. If that is something you like, man, I desperately need alerts. You know, even if I only get the one follow, I want that follow to look nice. All that stuff is free, all right? And if you want to invest money later on, you can. But from a base level, just starting out, get all the free stuff you can. Learn, all right? Look up YouTube tutorials, okay? Look up Google, how the best practices for OBS, best practices for plugins for OBS, or doing this, that, and the other. All of this is free. All you need to do is put in time. And it's more accessible than ever. I remember back in the day, if you wanted to feature your chat on screen, right? You would have to green screen a chat and then screen record the chat. And that would just eat up a bunch of resources with your PC. Now everything is a browser source. It's so simple. Anybody can do it. Back then we had to like figure, it was like the workarounds for audio. I remember I had a two PC setup very early in the game. PC audio back then. Still PC audio now between two PCs. It could be tricky. You know, it could work one day. Next day, nope, it doesn't work. What did you have to do? Just unplug and replug the cable. All right. Oh, the couple of days later, same problem happens. Okay, try the cable again. No, that doesn't work. Now you have to reset your Realtek audio driver, and then it works. Oh, okay, that makes no sense to me, but okay, sure. So in terms of just getting started with streaming, downloading OBS, browser source for everything you need for chats, for alerts, for everything, it's so much easier. And I don't mean easier as in like, you're going to make it. I mean, just accessible as in getting started, getting situated.
If that's something that, like, let's face it, an aesthetically pleasing looking stream can attract that potential new viewer, new follower, is that like me to this day, I still use free. I mean, I've been streaming since 2016. I use Stream Elements OBS Live and I use their free overlays. Everything is plugged in. Everything, the work is done for you. I mean, you have to update your like social media stuff, but it's there. So it's like, there's like, hey, look, anybody can do this. But, you know, like you said, there's so much free stuff out there for people that are new to streaming. And so much. Rather than go out and let's face it, there is a lot of shady graphic designers out there that will either take your money and you'll never hear from them.
You don't have to pay for anything when you're starting out. Everything is free.
Or will steal other people's designs and then make it their own. So there's so much free stuff. It's like, the content creation gods are wanting you to do this, and it's going to cost you about zero. The only thing it's going to cost you is time. And then, you know, got to think. Thankfully, YouTube has made it easy. I don't know how to do it, YouTube. I'm going to try to do it.
But that's I want people to really hear that because it's such an important thing. Like, time is the investment here. All right. Let's say that you want to start playing the guitar. You don't know how to play the guitar. You can't afford lessons. You go on YouTube and you go on Google. And you look up everything guitar related you could pop, beginner, you know, there's probably some guitar school guy on YouTube who's like, hey, so this is class one. Now we're just going to learn the E string. And now we're going to learn how to do this thing. And that, and then just like, just beginner stuff. It is there. Okay. If you're willing, if you have the time, if you're willing to make the time, all right, all the information is out there. Okay. It's for you to find. It's for you to explore. But with Google, with YouTube, with Twitter, with Twitch, with Reddit, I'm not specifically on Reddit, but I know Reddit has tons of information. It's there. All right. It's there. Get started. Okay.
Like I've always said, the only thing that stops anybody from success is themselves. So they, a lot of people don't, yeah, they don't want to put in the time. They don't want to put in the effort. They don't want to go through the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. They just want to like press live, partnership implemented immediately, and 50,000 viewers. You know, everybody wants that, you know, and it's like, if it's worth it, then you're going to struggle. You're going to have those issues. You're going to, you know what it's like to stream. One day you have, say, 100 viewers. Then the next day you have zero. You have Stream Elements, Nightbot, and Wisebot showing in your stream. And those are the only ones talking. So you, they're not going to know what it's like to be, like, in your instance, the best at Call of Duty ever, you know, and then change games and reinventing yourself. Whereas, and I know we went off, and I kind of want to, excuse me, is kind of bring you back, because, you know, after Call of Duty, I'm sure you said, you know what, I need to do something different for me. I can do this. And you had your little ebbs and flows, and, you know, you made some changes and reinvented yourself. And some people were afraid to reinvent themselves, try new things, because they don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, you know? So
no, it's tricky. Like it and there's no sure way to do anything. Like I can't tell you to do this, you know, do thing X, and that's going to make it easy. Like that's going to, or it can make it easier, but it's 100% going to work, right? It's the same as I can.
Oh my God. I actually thought I was going to learn something. I'm out of here. No, I'm joking.
But it's the same as like, I can tell anybody,
blocked, you know?
Yeah. I could tell anybody like, hey, stream 12 hours a day for 6 months and you're going to make it. I can't say that because just streaming 12 hours doesn't make, like, what are you doing under those 12 hours? You know, just putting in time, like making time is awesome. It's one of the greatest things you can do to put yourself in a good place. But just putting in time to like, all right, so now I'm pressing live, and I was live 12 hours for 6 months. Orb said I was going to make it. Well, here I am. I got 10 viewers and I have had little to no growth. Like just that doesn't work. I wish there was a sure way to tell everybody to make it, but then everybody would make it and then it wouldn't work, right? There is no sure way to do it, you know? If I would give like a piece of advice that I've seen work a lot and that I used little but not as much as I should, is the fact that since I had Call of Duty as a main game, you play Call of Duty for 80% of your stream. And then towards the end, you say, okay, guys, we're done for today, but actually, I'm just going to do a little bit of extra. We're just going to hang out on Dragon Age.
And or even just chatting.
Yeah, exactly. But whatever, maybe you want to switch to a specific game or a genre, right? You could do 80% Call of Duty or whatever your main game is. And then towards the end, be like, all right, guys, we're done. I can see you guys tomorrow. Or if you guys want to stick around for a little bit of Dragon Age, I know it's got to be a completely different vibe, but it's just something I want to do. Then you're kind of setting it up as like, all right, feel free to stick around. And there's many people, not everybody, there's many people who would have never clicked on the stream because you're playing Dragon Age, but they've already had a great time with you. You seem in good spirits. You want to try this game, and you kind of made a transition for them easier, right? There's stuff like that you can do, but it's also not a sure way to work, you know?
And it's, I don't know. I mean, like, I see it all the time. You see a lot of streamers that, like, they hop from game to game because it's the new hot trend out there. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's cool and everything. But once that game is gone, they're going to, you know, be gone. And it's a sad state of affairs. But I understand if you have to do that as that's your job, you know, you're game hopping. Or I think it's more frustrating when I see the newer content creators out there that are hopping from game to game trying to get, because they're doing it for viewers. And I was like, why not just build with what you have, you know, Bring them along.
On the flip side of that, what if they find this new game and it's amazing? Or they find some new viewers that find them really interesting and they stick around for other games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the other flip side to that coin as well.
That's what we're actually saying.
There's actually no guide like step 1 to 10 and you'll be a good streamer and a big streamer and you'll have a lot of viewers. There's no exact way to say from there to there you have to go to be that guy with a few hundred viewers or 1,000 viewers or whatever. You know, there's no, you know.
Yep. Play what makes you happy.
There's
play
no
what
script.
Makes you happy.
Yeah. So.
I think one of the most important things is that people have to see that you're happy. Like you say, play what makes you happy. Because if you go into a streamer, his chat, who's always whining and complaining and this and that, except there are streamers that are acts, you know, and it's funny and stuff like that. But I mean, like, people that are sincerely always complaining and all that shit. I'm like, okay, I don't want this shit in my life. I need something positive with everything going on. You know, I want to have some fun. I want to watch something that, you know, makes me smile, or a guy that gets me excited, like the dog, for example, or, you know. So I one of the things I always say is always try to stream when you're happy and try to stream what makes you happy, you know, and show that to people. I think that's one of the best advices I can give to people.
The benefit of playing games that you genuinely enjoy playing is that streaming becomes fun. You're enjoying your time. Whether you're growing or not, you're actually playing something that you want to play. Like, at the end of the day, you're making yourself happy. And if people see that you're happy, like you said, I think people are, yes, people can be attracted to different things. Like, there's some streamers out there that rage all the time, and people are really invested in that content because it's funny, right? And I'm not saying that content is wrong. That works for that streamer. There's clearly people that want to watch that type of content. But, you know, everybody enjoys different, right? Just I think the benefit of trying as many different games as you want and as many different styles of streaming, right? Maybe you could be the funny guy. Maybe you could be the really good guy. How, you're never going to find out what your thing is or what you find the most fun to do or the most entertaining for you if you don't just try a bunch of things. So maybe game hopping could be a great idea, you know? Who knows? I try to look at the positives as much as possible when it comes to these things. Look at the possibilities instead of the drawbacks. And I don't know. When you all know, like, when you find that game you really enjoy, right? You can play the game for hours, right? It doesn't feel like you're clocking in and clocking out. All of a sudden you're playing Cyberpunk and you're loving life for 16 hours, you know?
Yeah, it's what was the PGA Golf 2K21. Dude,
like, literally, so
I haven't played it. But,
dude, me and Blaze, I streamed it for like 7 hours, and I was like, "What?
Hell yeah!"
But I was like, "But it was one of those that it was cool and everything." And then, like, now I'm trying to go pro on Among Us. And I got Blaze, me and Blaze, we're gonna go.
Playing Among Us. Nope.
Mm-mm. You're so negative, man.
He just sent it to me as a gift today. He's like, no, you have to play Among Us with me. He's forcing me, Orb, help.
It's such an easy game to play, but it's so fun and engaging.
It is fun, and that's the thing about it. But
it kind of reminds me of another game, but I'm trying to think of the name. When it comes back, I'll tell you. I'm old. It takes some time.
We literally, you guys, went completely off track. So after Call of Duty, where did you go from there? So the
goal of us variety streaming, but I mean, to this day, I would say that I'm variety with a focus on shooter games because I just enjoy shooter games. I'm drawn to it a lot. Obviously, I have a lot of experience just growing up playing everything from GoldenEye to Perfect Dark on the Nintendo 64. Hell yeah. If you're listening, you know those games. Yeah, I know you're legit. Okay, I know you're OG. Playing a bunch of Counter-Strike 1.6, obviously all the Call of Duties. Shooter games have always been very close to me. So I think I played a bunch of CS. I also did a bunch of like COD and CS, kind of like 50-50. And then eventually... years later, start to actually incorporate like way different games. I'm trying to think of like just, I don't know, story-based games, Until Dawn on PlayStation 4, Don't Starve on PC, just like anything you could possibly imagine, just jumping from game to game. The only game I didn't jump on, which thankfully I never did, is World of Warcraft, because golly, that is a time sink of a game. Okay, I'm so happy I never caught the WoW bug, because everybody who played it at one point probably still plays it to this day, because it just, you can't stop, you know? So
that's been brought up in multiple, and they were like, oh, what was my first World of Warcraft? And I always ask.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And I always ask this, I go, did you have a World of Warcraft boyfriend or girlfriend? That was my first. And I'm like, everybody I know is like, it's tough. I tried it, and then I was like, I can't commit that much time to it. Like, this is a lifestyle. And I could see it, like, the guy that's been playing it for like 60 years straight, sitting there with a bucket of KFC chicken and a gallon of Haagen-Dazs, and this is his life. And I'm like, that can't be me.
So, well, you still are laughing, and every time you're laughing that I've never in my life played an MMO. But like Joel, I'm like, I want to stay away from those kind of games, because I know myself, I'm going to invest myself so much into it that I'm going to be off the planet for a while. You know,
and it's a time sink. It's a time sink. That's what I'm saying. You realize that, oh, shoot, dude, I've been streaming for, you know, 12, 14, 16 hours. And that's been going on for, you know, God knows how long, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years. God.
Next thing you know, you're reliving the scenes from Castaway, and you're at your computer and you don't know what happened. Yeah. You know? I tried BDO, and that was my first MMO, really. And
got
I
was it. Like, got it.
It was cool, but and I haven't played it since then. I'm like the worst player in the whole wide world. Like, I was like, that's cool, I'll come back to playing it, and then I'll be like, hey, I'm gonna do something different. So all right, so no MMOs.
I remembered the game Deceit. That was the game. I don't know if you ever played that game.
Never
Deceit,
played, but
it's free on it's free on Steam, by the way. It's a game where you're an infected guy, or not, you know, and there's a bunch of people, and you can talk to them, randoms, and it's, you know, it's online, and you play with random people, and, you know, like Among Us, you have to find a killer, and in this case, it's the guy that's, you know, the infected one, and you can kill people along the way. When it gets dark, you turn into, like, this creepy monster, and you kill them, and, you know, the graphics are way better and everything, but that was a fun game. I sometimes used to play that in between to, you know, change it up, like you said, or at the end of a stream or something, you know, and had a few viewers join me. So that's why I remember that game. And every time I see Among Us, I'm like, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the stuff behind that. But yeah, sorry. Let's continue.
Yeah. Oh, it's not about us. It's about you. Let's go.
All right. So my story, like, after, I don't know exactly what games I jumped into, but it was kind of like a hybrid, like just mainly FPS types of games, a lot of CS. And then over time, it just become less and less Call of Duty. I still play Call of Duty at every single release. Every single year, we have like essentially an annual, because I used to do a race to prestige or race to max prestige.
I remember those, the Optic Gaming ones, Hector Rodriguez, the you know, and then you would get like Hutch, C-Nanners, Diesel, and Stark.
I used to always be so pissed off at them, because I know I could beat all of them, but since I was doing it solo on my account and they were like four people on one account or six people on one account, I could just never beat them. So I always looked at them like, I could do this better.
And I've always liked Nanners. I've always liked seeing Nanners, and I'm so glad he's back, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Love the Nanner, man.
But anyway, so, yep, Race to Prestige, Call of Duty. Now, I'm sorry. We're taking notes, okay? We're taking notes on your career.
It's good. Pop quiz at the end.
Pop quiz. Let's go. Is it open book?
So I still do those at every single Call of Duty release up until, I mean, I'm going to do one for this Call of Duty as well. We're going to do like a race to whatever the first prestigious or max level. I don't know if this Call of Duty is going to have prestigious or not, but whatever 1 to 55. And we try to grind it as fast as we can. It's just a lot of Call of Duty. And it's good, because I really enjoy this Call of Duty, so I know I'm going to have a good time with it. And it's not going to be like a Call of Duty Ghost where I'm just like 6 hours in. I remember you leveled up so slow in that game. And I remember we were so many hours into the stream, into the first like 24 hour marathon, right? And I just look at our level and we're like, I don't know, we're not even halfway there. And we're well over halfway point. Like we're well over 12 hours. Maybe we're at 16, 18 hours and we're not even half level to max. And I'm just like, this is gonna,
this is gonna hurt.
This is not for me. I mean, just the whole Call of Duty wasn't really fun to begin with. So it's sure if the grind is longer, but it was just not a good COD. But yeah, so now I do everything. I would still say it's a focus from FPS from time to time, but lately actually it's been a lot of just random games, and I've been really enjoying it. So streaming is fun.
You also did H1Z1, right? Didn't you do the Invitational also, or am I wrong? I don't know.
Yeah. That is right. Yeah, that was such a good experience. I loved being a part of the last H1Z1 Invitational. Getting to compete on stage. I mean, we played together, right?
I was in H1.
Yeah, I've competed in like many different tournaments, but this one was special because my whole family from home, like my dad, my sisters, my brother, my mother, everybody was watching live through Twitch. And I've never had that before. I've never had where my whole family watches or any for that matter. Like maybe my brother, because he games. So maybe from time to time, he'll watch something. My mom actually watches my channel a lot nowadays. I'll talk about something on stream and she'll text. No. She doesn't have an account, I don't think. But I talked about dyeing my hair silver on stream. And she texts me like, no, you're not. And I was like, what? okay, so mama.
It's part of the persona. Let me go. Let me be mom.
Do you remember how it was in that arena to walk on that stage with all the other big streamers like the Doc and Soda and all the others? You know, I was so impressed. And at that point, I was like, I feel so little, you know, and all the people shouting. It was insane.
Yeah. No, like I said, I've competed before and on stages and stuff, but it just people, my family watching from home made it so much more special. Of course, it's great being able to, you know, compete against my other fellow streamer friends and such. And of course, being around greatness, like I sat next to Summit. We've talked like on Twitter and stuff, like we follow each other, but we never actually had a chance to talk in person, I don't think. So just being able to sit down with him and like just chop it up. And then just like in the first round, just playing and then just seeing Summit just get up and leave. Because that was the thing. Once you're dead, you're supposed to stand up and walk out and just leave room, right? So just seeing him leave before me, I was like, okay, because I know Summit was pretty damn good at H1. And I made it to a top two situation, me against Sander Ravage in round one. And my community talks about this so much. Like I have Sander Ravage and I'm standing behind a car and he just starts lighting up the car and he blows up the car when he's like, I think 30 HP. And I talked with him afterwards and he was like, yeah, you had me. I had to go for the car. It was my only, you know, get out of jail free card. And I don't know, just being in that situation and knowing that my family watched from home, you know, when they're calling out my name and they're saying, we got Orb, you know, in the top two situation, that meant a lot to me. That's something they still talk to this day. Like my dad, you know, he's not into gaming at all. Like he's of course very old school. But he still brings that up as like a fond memory of his son and proud moment of his son. And that, I don't know, that makes him just telling this story again, fills my heart with so much love. But it's, yeah, you know, going back to the beginning, what we talked about in the beginning of the podcast is if this all crashes and burns tomorrow, having been a part of moments like that is, man, I'm gonna remember that for the rest of my life.
And those are moments that no one can ever take away from you. You know,
exactly.
Like those, you know, you can enjoy the story, but that's my fucking story. You know, and
yeah.
And I gotta know, did you two tap Blaze? Just look, he's not listening.
I don't know
just
if I ran into Blaze.
Say
not in game, but we chopped it up a little bit like outside of the stage, if I remember correctly, but
I give Blaze a hard time because I said you were wearing your man capris all the time on stage, you know. So he was I give him a hard time about it, but I remember that event. It was so cool because I'm a huge Karma fan. Like I love Karma as a Call of Duty player, and he was one of those guys that could transit. There's something special about that guy, and. Yeah. Just rolled over to PC and then I remember him and the doc were going at it, and then Karma kept just, you know, driving away, and it kept pissing off the doc. And yeah, Karma special.
What I remember is that Hiko killed me, and I should have killed him because he was like halfway dead. But I was like, it's too early in game to engage. I'm gonna back off. I drive away with my car, and he two taps me in my car while I was zigzagging. I was so fucked. I was so mad, you know. Still, till this day, I'm mad at myself for that play.
I think H1Z1 is, to this day, I'll still say H1Z1 is probably the greatest BR ever. Because it was like that, there was a, it was skill based, really, you know. You know, yeah. It made you want to get better. But, well, this isn't about H1Z1. This is the story of Orb. So,
or Joel.
No, please continue. I mean,
a question, like, how were you when you were young? Like, I don't even know if you had brothers or sisters or whatever. It's up to you to talk about it. But were your parents like really supportive in your gaming, or were you like more like a jock kind of guy, or what kind of guy was Joel when he was little? You know, that's something I'm wondering about.
No. So like very little. I was a very active kid. In Sweden, we have a sport called floorball, which is kind of like land hockey in a way. So I did floorball at a young age. I loved being out to run. Like I wasn't sitting inside doing anything, but as soon as the consoles came around, like Nintendo 8-bit, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, and then you got a PC in Sweden, we had, and that's why we've been so dominant with gaming and tournaments for many, many years. Now I think the rest of the world is catching up, but we used to dominate like Counter-Strike, you know, Quake, no deal, dude. We would win everything, right? Because we got a desktop PC at a very early age into like every household, and we had good internet. So we got to practice with, you know, good performance, good performance rig and internet. So I think once that came into the picture, I started spending more and more time at my computer, and I love playing games. Like once again, Counter-Strike 1.5, 1.6, the amount of hours I put into that is an ungodly amount. Also games like Diablo 2 is a fan favorite for me. It's a fan favorite and also a favorite for me. But I used to play a lot of games, and I eventually I essentially gave up sports and just became just a nerd through and through. And I remember not feeling really great about it. Like I remember my confidence kind of went down because once again, back in the day, gaming wasn't cool.
It wasn't the cool thing to do.
Money on it. Yeah, it was, I don't know. It was just something you do in the basement of mom's house. You know what I mean? So I remember my confidence took a big nosedive, but I still just kept with it. Like kept practicing for Counter-Strike and kept doing my thing. And I remember when I turned 18, that's when I was like, I was so fed up with how I felt. Like when I looked in the mirror, I'm just looking at a fat blob. I don't like how I look. I can't talk to girls. I get anxious. I get nervous just looking at a girl, let alone talking to her. And I just wasn't feeling good. I was so fed up. And that wasn't just like when I got 18, I just started feeling that way. That was the breaking point. That was when I was like, I got to change. I got to do something. I'm tired of being tired kind of mentality. So at 18, I decided to like actually start working out, take care of my body. And confidence started actually coming back. I started valuing my own self. And when you start valuing your own self, amazing things will happen. All right. People like nowadays it's so popular to like throw out simp so much, like simping for a girl. You know, when I actually got a little bit of confidence and started actually valuing myself, you realize that, you know, there's no point in chasing after somebody that don't want to be chased after. All right. And when when I realized that, I was like, I don't know, it gave me such a confidence boost in myself. And I remember it so vividly because I still carry it with me to this day. And I want everybody to value yourself. You know, it's the best thing you can do. Value your time. All right. We talked about putting your time into your hobbies, to your passions. Do that instead of doing what other people want you to do. And I don't know, it's an amazing thing. But that journey was long, and I'm so happy I went through that.
I mean, and then excuse me, wow. Beklimpt.
Well, what have you eaten today, man?
Coffee. Just coffee. I haven't had enough coffee.
The thing is, hearing this from Joel, how do I pronounce it? Joel. In my language, in Dutch, it would be Joel, honestly, your name. Joel.
In Swedish, yeah. It would be Joel. So you're not far off.
Yeah, like my name is my real name is Joachim, and most people know that. So in Sweden, it would be Joachim with a K, right?
Joachim.
Yeah. Anyway, so when I met you, you always seemed like such a confident guy. You know, you're not the tallest because I'm a tall guy. I know that.
But oh, you are a tall guy. That's true.
Make it about.
But you
he's 6 foot like, nine today, guys. He's 6 foot nine. Go ahead.
When I saw you, when I saw you talk, when I saw you smile, when I saw you being you, the presence you had, the aura around you is a guy with a lot of confidence and with a lot of self-knowledge. That's how that was my first impression on you, to be honest, Joel. Just you know.
No, that's cool. Yeah, thank you for saying those things. Yeah,
but I see on your, because I've been like, since we met, I'm following you everywhere. I've seen on your Instagram that you're also trying to, you know, inspire people to, you know, work out and do their best and try to make the best out of life and all that stuff and never to give up. And you really are a person, in my opinion, that tries to get people, you know, to get the best out of their life. And I think that's really nice of you and inspirational, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that means a lot to hear, actually, because I've been like, the thing is, like, I've been down in the dumps, like I've been in the rut, like I know what it feels like to not like you for you. That sucks. And you feel like, you know, for me, I was just like, I mean, I'm just playing video games all day and I'm just feeling worse. Like this passion that used to give me so much enjoyment and I would feel so good about it. Now I just feel empty. But you have nothing else. Like my whole life was revolved around games and Counter-Strike and competing in Counter-Strike. And I was like, if I give that up, I'm giving up me. That's all I have. And I was like, eventually, like, once again, I got to that point and I was like, there's gotta be more to life than feeling this way. And that's like when the journey began. And I would love for people to go through that journey. And it doesn't have to be working out. Working out is a great tool. I don't think you won't find many people that disagree that working out is good for you. Like from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint, it's good. But I'm not saying that as like, that's the thing you got to do to get happy or to get in the right mindset. But I think it could be a hell of a good start. But it doesn't have to be just working out. But yes, improving, like, I'm still learning. I'm still improving. I've gotten into hosting lately. So I've been fortunate to be able to host some Rocket League events, and which I never thought I would ever do because of just
an opportunity. I remember I saw a fail of that.
Yeah, but an opportunity that came because I knew another person that was like, hey, I think you would be great for this thing. And then eventually Psyonix, the devs of Rocket League, the devs, the crew, right? They reached out to me and was like, we loved you on the grid. We would love for you to host one of our majors. And I don't have any, like, I've done smaller hosting stuff here and there, but this is a major. And they just asked me over, I don't know, natives from Australia. They asked me, and I'm sure I'm not taking a dig at the Australian talent pool or anything like that, but for whatever reason, they wanted me for this thing. And that's coming with little to no experience of like hosting Rocket League before, and it just kind of happened, right? And I feel like it's kind of like putting yourself in good situations, and that comes like the basis of that comes from that you're comfortable with where you're at, who you are, right? That you dare to like take on a new challenge. And then of course I was nervous for this thing. You kidding me? I was hella nervous. And I've been in this business for a long time. I've been doing some of the hosting stuff. I've been on stage with lights and everything. And I still got nervous, you know, because it was a new kind of, this was a potential for a new feather in my cap, you know, adding in hosting as another thing that I could potentially do. And they loved it. And I loved it as well. Sure, I made some mistakes here and there. I said some stuff, you know, like I stumbled on my words a couple of times, but shit happens, you know, you roll with the punches. But that all starts from that self-worth, you know, like you can't do it, you know.
Yeah, but if I like for me, if I'm like, so you guys here in the States, probably when they're saying host, like shout casting is what they're saying, being a caster. So
sure, caster, yeah.
It's like I would rather watch a caster or a host that is not necessarily fumbling over the words, but to me that is entertaining. Look at like Maven. So you've been around COD, so you know who Maven is.
Yeah, Maven. Yeah,
Maven, there's nothing perfect about that dude, but that's what makes him perfect. The fact that he is imperfect makes him perfect as a caster. So, like, that's what I enjoy. I was like, you know, I always laugh the way he says, like, I say it literally. Literally. And he always says it literally. Literally.
Literally.
And I'm like, but it's little things like that that I'd rather, because to me as a caster, I want to have someone that I can relate to. So,
yeah,
you know, when you're down to earth, you're fun, you're jovial, you're entertaining, you're messing up. You know what though? You're human. You're a human being. You know, if you're not making mistakes, then we're robots. And what is it? Is it Cyberdyne? Whatever the Terminator comes. Crap. Then they've taken over and we just didn't know about it. No?
Skynet, I believe.
Skynet. Yeah. Skynet has taken over.
No, it's funny you mentioned Maven. I'm not gonna say I'm like a mega super familiar with all of his stuff, but I've been to enough Call of Duty events and seen enough Call of Duty streams to know that he's good at what he does. And when I think of him, like when you mention his name, I think of an easygoing host. That's what I think. Yeah. And I mean that as an ultimate compliment. I don't mean as like he's too lax and he's not doing his job. I mean it as a complete compliment.
Yeah, and it's like, because you remember he was with his partner was Courage. So you had Courage, who's like pinging off the walls.
Courage has exploded, yeah.
And then you have Maven, who's like laid back, you know, like, is he okay? You know? And,
yeah.
But those two work well together. And you know what, though? This is going to sound really weird. It finally, I was scrolling through your Instagram, not like Blaze, where he's got posters. I've seen his new streams. He's got your posters all over thing. Is that
my girlfriend wants to divorce me right now?
I know. You guys, go support him, but don't let your girlfriend watch. Or so. Do you know who you look like?
Me and Joakim, we're gonna elope together. Sorry.
Who you look like?
No.
Has anybody ever told you that you and Nate Hill could be brothers? You guys look a lot alike.
I gotta Google this. Nate Hill
from FaZe. FaZe Nate Hill.
I can kind of see it. I can kind of see because of the hair.
He looks like you. He looks like
because of the hair.
Yeah. But he's like,
I look like him. I don't know. I don't know how old he is. Who was first?
You, probably you. I don't know. He's like a male model too.
Not because I'm a fanboy, but Orp looks better than Nate Hill. I'm sorry, Nate.
He looks like a.
Nate Hill looks like a Orp. Picture with his penguin suit.
I win in this podcast. I win, but I'm sure Nate wins in all the other ones. But listen, it's a battle. We'll go man on man. All right. Yeah.
So
what is also fun, like nice, that I always see is that you have viewers that make fun of you in a nice way, like they want to, you know, create something or whatever, and you go with it. You even like post it on your socials and stuff like that, you know, like when like people make funny pictures and make you have like a big forehead or a small body, tiny legs, or change a picture, you put like a picture out, like a really nice picture with you and somebody, you know, from gaming or whatever, and they take the time to take that picture to like resize you, and you're standing next to that dude like a small person, you know. And like, man, they even take the time to do that for Joel.
the thing is like, you, life isn't as serious as you might think. Like, you got to be able to roll with the punches a little bit, and like, you know, like being able to have some jokes, you know, on your expense, sure, why not? Like, you know, if they would do it all the time, I would probably be like, guys, please, I'm a person also, I have feelings. But when it's made in good jest, right, when we both know that it's just a joke, right, why not have jokes on my expense? All right, my forehead is big, my head is giant, my nose is too sharp, okay, my legs are too short, why not? You know, if it creates a little bit of buzz in the community and people seem to enjoy it, why not? It's like extremely harmless, and it's, I don't know, it's just something I really don't mind.
I mean, like, Junkhead tried to do it, but I sent an assassin for him, you know, because he was laughing at my forehead.
That thing is huge. TikTok. It made it a TikTok video.
But he actually made a TikTok video of my forehead.
You made it, and then you just, I went next level on it. So, but you know, it's one of those that it's like you said, it's fine. It's cool. When it's in jest, when it's just like for entertainment and it's not personal, yeah. You know, and for one that allows your community to be involved more with you, you know, it's like, hey, who wants to make me look like blah, 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 put me on top of the, you know, the Eiffel Tower, you know, eating a bowl of SpaghettiOs or something, you know, and then next, you know.
Yeah, why not?
And the way graphic artists are today, generally it's done like in minutes. You're like, what just happened? I just suggested this and you're done already. I was like, okay, cool. These crazy graphic arts kids.
Listen, they're talented and they have, you know, maybe a little bit too much time on their hands, you know? And they got skills, you know, they got skills.
Man, don't sell yourself short, graphic artists. Don't do, yeah.
No, 100% not.
Value
100% not.
So. All right, so once again, we are so off track as usual. But this is fine because this allows, like I said, for people that are fans of Orb, you see that one side of them, you know, and that's why we like doing this podcast, because we want people to see the other side, because it makes you more relatable. As Blaze would say, you're more dreamy, you know, and you know,
okay.
He's weird. He's out there, you know, Blaze. He is definitely different. So, I mean, but it's like, and that's the cool thing about that is that not only do we get to learn more about you, is that everyone else who may not be fans of Orb are now like, I could relate to this dude, man. Let me go check this guy out. You know, he was the first guy with the first sub button on Twitch. No one else can take that from you.
No, that's very true. That should be a shirt. Like everybody is more than welcome to stop by, see if they enjoy it. You know, I always say that, like, if there's a host coming in or a raid coming in, or, you know, somebody says they're new to the channel, I just always say, like, hey, stick around for a little bit, see if you enjoy it. You know, it's not going to be for everybody. You know, everybody has a different style and a twist to their content, but what do you got to lose? You know, give it a couple of minutes, see if you enjoy the vibe, and, you know, take it from there.
Yeah, because I also remember you were one of the first ones starting with, like, the lights and everything around in your stream, you know, when you started with the Huey and stuff. And I was like, he's a streamer and a gamer. What's he doing with all that lights and those colors and stuff like that? And now, a few years after, I'm like, I want to get the addressable RGB. I want to get Huey lights in my stream room.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, when you first got it, I was like, What's he doing? You know, why is he doing this? But now I understand. And, like, that was also a nice addition from you, you know, because I think you were one of the first on Twitch to use Huey lights, you know?
It's so
funny to make them appear with alerts. So, like, every time there's a sub, the lights will flash in a certain way. And if it's a tier 2 or tier 3 sub, it's even more lights. And you can experiment a lot with that now. Like I said, it's stuff like that is more accessible to get, and I don't know if it's an upper hand or get an extra little twist to your stream. It's there if you're willing to investigate and look it up.
It makes it unique and aesthetically pleasing. Like if I go into, like Game Dev Cardo, his stuff is like that too. And you're just like, it's aesthetically pleasing. It draws people in. You're like, what? This guy's light moved to everything. You sit there and watch it. Like, I'm not an RGB person, but on my new PC build, whenever I get all the parts for it, I went addressable RGB, so it's going to be all the same color. Okay, everyone's like, ooh, RGB, but it's an attractive thing, you know? So
yeah, I mean, it's like to put that little extra, you know, the topping on the cake, the little extra something, you know? It could be a nice twist to add in. Guys, I don't want to be rude, but I think we gotta, like, kind of wrap it up because I gotta.
Okay. No problem.
Sorry, I don't want to.
Definitely. Hey, look, when you're a professional, when you're Twitch's first subscriber, you know, guy with a sub button, you should sell that shirt. I have Twitch's first sub, you know, so. But please do me a favor.
I had one of the first.
Yeah.
You were one of the first, right? Not the one, right?
You said he was the first.
Listen, we can change that. We can alter the text, you know. So, one of the first, but, the first. It was the first batch. So.
One of the first still around.
So, the first one in
probably.
So please do me a favor. Talk about who you, if you're on a stream team, who you stream for, your sponsorship, shout your, all that social media stuff out. And guys and gals, we will have all his pertinent personal information down in the description below. If you haven't checked him out, please, please, do yourself a good justice and check him out. So please, the floor is yours, Mr. Orb.
All right. Well, Junkhead and Joachim, thank you so much for having me on, and everybody listening at home. This, I love this type of stuff, like the passion project that's turning into something. You know, you're putting in the time. You're I don't know. You got what? I'm episode 22. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 22.
22. That you got 22 episodes in the bank already. That is amazing. I just want to inspire you guys if I can for a moment. Okay, my friends watching at home, if you guys are thinking about getting into streaming, why not? What do you got to lose? A little bit of time. Like I said, everything is free out there to get started, to get going. If you think it could be right up your alley or something you want to try out, then why not? All right, I encourage everybody to do it. Okay, whatever your passion is, pursue that. Okay, it doesn't have to be gaming. Maybe you're listening to this on a whim, but you're really into, I don't know, baseball, I don't know, a sport, whatever the activity might be. If you're passionate about something, go for it. Okay, my friends, you can find me on twitch.tv/orb. Also Orb on Twitter, incredible Orb on Instagram. But yeah, like they said, the links are going to be somewhere, right? So you can feel free to dig that up if you want to. But I don't know. I love video games. I'm really happy to still be here after all this time. And hopefully I'll be here for, hopefully, if I'm lucky,
oh, you will,
be here for at least a couple more years.
You will. If not, you'd let us know. We'll find some people and take care of business for you. But
perfect. Sponsors? I might have to take you up on that, you know?
Sponsors? Sponsors you want to shout out? I know you said you were talking about Elgato.
Yes, yes. I've been with Elgato for a long time. Philips Hue as well. Twitch. I've been with G2 Esports for an extremely, extremely long time. I say extremely. It feels like that because it's been so intense for so long. But it's been a year and a half I've been with them. And I don't know. They are one of the greatest. No, they are the greatest esport org out there. All right? They have the best teams, the best players, and they have the best social media. All right. When you see like teams bickering back and forth on social media, G2 has nailed their social media game. Like they're talking really true, like truly to their audience. And it's so wonderful to see because it's such a fun approach. You know, esport orgs, you know, at least back in the day used to be very professional and formal. And G2 is just taking that and just having fun with it, which makes everybody more engaged because everybody's having fun with it. And yeah, I love it. So. Yeah, shout out to G2, shout out to Philips Hue, shout out to Elgato, shout out to Twitch. It's been great, and I hope to be with them for a very long time.
Once again, if you're not, you let us know. We have connections. We will handle
business. I'm making a note of that right now. Perfect. So,
but you know, once again, you guys listen to this podcast. Make sure you guys are giving us a nice 5-star rating. You guys can go to our Anchor page, and you guys can support us through. It's like an Anchor Patreon thing. If you guys feel like doing that, if not, just really telling people about the podcast is really key for me and Blaze. And once again, from me and Blaze, thank you very much, Orb, for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Come hang out and do this podcast. And it's an honor and a pleasure. And you're welcome to come back whenever you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sounds good.
We'll record an episode. I won't tell Blaze about it. He's not hearing this.
Really?
I've got. Oh,
sure. We'll do, yeah. We'll do a duo. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Oh,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you guys check him out.
You're already replacing me.
He has better hair.
I can
than
never
you
replace
right
you.
Now. We can't quit you, Blaze. We can't. But once again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day. I know you have you're able to squeeze this in, and it means the world. But you guys, make sure you go in and check out Orb. All his information will be down below. And remember, if you guys are out there, you guys better be out there fragging, because if not,
you're probably lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Mom, I gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!